In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the topic of my sermon, I will read from the Gospel of St. Luke, from this chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. Amen. Dear service guests, soon is the time when we have to return. These days that have flown by have seemed to go quickly. This time, these many years, time, although it seems sometimes to stop for a minute, it goes by fast. The shepherds, those who in that pasture received that amazing message, they started forth quickly on the basis of what the angels told them. They left to go see what was proclaimed to them from the Lord. And they found that everything was exactly the same as it had been written. We are told that in the Bible. The time had come when they had to return. They had to return back to their own tasks, their own lives. They had to return back to their own work and the trials and troubles it brings. Thinking of this moment, during these weeks and these months that I have thought of this, I have thought, have we experienced something of the same? We have stopped before the presence of the Lord Jesus, before his presence. We have listened and examined his word and proclamation, but above all, we have believed it. Someone may have thought that I would like to take a whole backpack full of this food with me. But we have received food for only a day at a time. The food we have received has been for the faith of today, and tomorrow has its own sorrows. But something we bring something that we have received from this day and these days. We can bring this experience that John says in his book, which has been in the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we can have touched with our hands. This is what we can talk of the words of life. We may be asked when we go back home, and our neighbors or friends or workmates may ask, how did it go during those services, especially that Wednesday and Thursday when there were problems here at the site? I would like to say now to you, dear ones who own this land, I want to warmly thank you. We were pulled by tractors into this site. We were pulled into this site. You volunteers, you who own this land, helped us. And even smilingly, you were there. You were there with a good mind helping us. And I want to you, person who lives here in Vasa, I want to ask you, have you, during these services, have you experienced a different kind of pull? That which the love of God affects in us when it approaches a sinful person in the word of the gospel, when it is revealing the resurrection of work of Jesus, and when it reveals that this resurrection work is owned in the kingdom of God, in the midst of the children of God, as a believing person, as a citizen of heaven. I would like to think that listening to these services, you who are at this service site, or you who may be listening on the internet or radio, you who may not have ever been used to these types of services, that you have felt the touch of these services, the sermons, even though they may seem like they have been a repetition. And even though they have been preached by poor servants, but you have been able to hear and see the strength of God in these sermons. That strength which has kept us believers on the road to heaven. The birth of Christ contains just, it is uncomprehendable. The mind of man cannot comprehend the whole birth of Christ. The first person that it astounded was Joseph, who noticed that his fiancée was pregnant. He thought that he would reject Mary, his fiancée, so that he would not be thought poorly of. We notice that Joseph was a believing man. In such a difficult situation of life, he did not go telling this catastrophe that had happened in his own family. He didn't go spreading it to everybody. But he thought that he secretly thought that he would just reject his fiance. But then an angel came to speak to him and said, "Do not be afraid to take this woman as your wife, because the thing that has happened to her has happened through the Holy Spirit." Joseph had no other choice than to believe this message from the angel. His own mind, his own reasoning could not understand, or his own reasoning could not give him a solution to the situation he was in. But he just believed the words of the Lord, which were revealed unto him through the angel. And the second thing that we cannot understand is this proclamation. Who would you choose to be the sender of a great message? Perhaps we would try to think of some person who has power, whose word would be listened to. This type of person we would send to bring a message. But God did not act in this way. The proclamation of the angels was brought to the shepherds, those people who were looked down upon in that society. They were the lowest. And the angel told them that I will proclaim unto you a great joy that will come to all nations. On this day, a Redeemer has been born to you. And this is the sign that you will find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. Christ anointed. We are told in our creed, God prepared mankind to accept the gospel. When the time had been fulfilled, God sent his Son into the world to save the world. God chose the shepherds to be witness of this great tiding, and they went quickly and found how it is related to us in the Bible. They were able to see what God had revealed to them. What is your message, you service guest? What do you speak of? What is this thing that we have all experienced? What is that which has touched you personally? What do you want to tell the people who you meet? We, children of God, up until now and surely in the future, we are blamed that your sermon is too much about the congregation. Speak more about Christ and less about the congregation. Why, in your sermons, do you always speak of the kingdom of God? Before I continue my speech, I will ask you, service guests, and I pose this question especially to those people who are close to me, that if sometimes in my sermons, that if I would cease to speak of the kingdom of God, that you would come quickly and ask me, Arno, what's the problem? Why? Why don't you speak of the mother anymore? During these times, I have received many reminders of this sermon. Someone may have wondered that why I have said it doesn't frighten me very much to come here to speak, because I have said that I am here before my mother, and I notice now that my own mother sits here and listens, but I am also here in front of my own mother, my congregation mother, who takes care of me, and I can never stop speaking of this congregation mother. As long as my conscience has been cared for, and I understand that as a member of this congregation, I am endeavoring in faith with this congregation and in the love of the congregation, and I cannot take any steps away from the congregation. Is this too much? Speaking too much of the congregation. Years ago, we kept services, and as now, these services were heard in a large area. These services were heard in the homes of those people who did not come here to the site, but they listened to these services. In one of these homes, a small boy was driving his bicycle, and in a loud voice, he said, "In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven." Say, dear listeners, had that little boy understood the main message of these services, when you have noticed that again and again, when he had noticed that again and again, sins were preached forgiven, when Christ sent his own into the work of the kingdom to testify, he asked them to preach of the kingdom of God. And when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, the mother of all prayers, this congregation is mentioned in this prayer in two different places. First, thy kingdom come. I have told those dear friends and loved ones of mine who have gone away from the group of the children of God that if you do not know how to pray for anything else, then pray this Lord's Prayer, because then you will be praying that the kingdom of God would approach you in the gospel word and in the forgiveness of sins. And it will come. It will approach you. It comes close. It has been heard throughout the world during these days. It has reached many ears, but we pray that it has reached many hearts. When the shepherds were returning, they proclaimed that tiding which had been told to them of this child, and all who heard it wondered of these things that the shepherds had said to them. It is a sermon to wonder about, a wondrous proclamation. From the beginning of the world, the Word of God has met resistance, but also wonder. It met resistance in the beginning of the world. Our dear brother spoke of it before. He spoke of the serpent who entices. The prophet Isaiah had to lament that who believes our sermon and who will we proclaim the arm of God about. We can picture when the best proclaimer, the Lord Jesus himself, the Lord himself, through his Son, proclaims the gospel. We would think that there would be many who would believe. But this did not happen. We know how Jesus again and again had to assure people that I am of the Father and the Father is of me. That which I proclaim to you is the proclamation of my Father from the beginning of time, which has been created in the beginning. If you do not believe me otherwise, then believe me because of the works that I do. This said Jesus. How difficult, even today in this time, it is for many to believe that these people who are keeping these summer services are the messengers of God. Someone may say that I can believe that they do this of their own, on their own, but that I cannot believe, that there is just one kingdom from where this truth of God and gospel is proclaimed from. This is impossible. This is against our reason. We cannot understand. Nevertheless, the Word of God in the book of Corinthians speaks how God in His wisdom, God did not, or the people in the world did not come to know God through their wisdom, but the simple word of God was acceptable to those poor who believed Him. We know very well that our sermon does not seem reasonable, and it does not seem reasonable to speak of just one kingdom, one Christ, and one faith. But it is a truth according to the Bible. And in the midst of this congregation, all are called. I have especially paused when I have thought that who are the best witnesses of this congregation. It is probably those who have the most courage to speak of this kingdom. They are the best witnesses of this kingdom. But you, brother and sister, perhaps have been ashamed many times, thought if you were asked that, do you think you are a messenger of God's kingdom? You would say that I am the most poor. According to the Gospel of St. Luke, it is spoken of the wedding guests. Do not call your rich neighbors your relatives. When you arrange a celebration, call those who are lame and weak. This is what happened when the servant went to call people to the celebration, to the festivity. Many resisted him. One had bought a field. Another one had his own celebration to go to. And when the festivity was about to begin, he told his servant to call the people and say that all is ready to come. People had many excuses why they couldn't come to the festivity. Somebody had to take care of his cattle. Someone else had just gotten married. And when none of these people came to the festival, then the servant went back and told the Lord that these people aren't coming. They all have excuses. Then the Lord became angry and told his servant to go into the streets of the city and bring those who are lame and blind and sick. Bring all these here to our festivity. Did you hear this, you dear service guest? You may feel that you are poor, you are blind, you are poor, you are lame, you are wretched. We sing this hymn, which speaks of this, and we may often feel that we ourselves are like these people. We feel we are poor and blind and wretched, and we want the children of God to remember us in prayer. And we may feel that we are the poorest witness. But you can be a witness of this, that this kingdom is a kingdom for the poor and weak. You have a place here in this congregation. Those who in the trials of life have felt much weakness, much sin, and the losses that it has caused. These people have been able to hear that you can believe your sins forgiven. You can be free. We want to remember you in the midst of your trials and tribulations. You who are lame, do not think that you do not have anything to say. You are the one who has much to say. You can say that in this kingdom, the most sinful can believe their sins forgiven. And in this kingdom, the rich and powerful have never stayed here very long. They are so independent that they have left on their own road, on their own ways. And they have thought that I can get along just fine without this congregation, without this unity, which has become to bother me. Why does it bother a person like that? It does not bother or distress a free child of God, but it distresses such a one who wants to live a life according to their own flesh and blood, and they want to live according to the mind of the world. A person cannot serve two masters. This is what our Redeemer teaches us. But for the one who continuously has to battle against his own dumbness, his own poorness and weakness, who continually has to say that every day I have to live by grace This person cannot leave or go any place else. This type of person has to stay near the mother. There it has, the time has passed when I took care of my own children. This task, this mother's and father's task, after the children have left the nest. Or it had, time has gone, or it's been a long time since I have been able to wash my own children, bathe them. After the bath, the mother and father took their children and dried them with a soft towel. And you do not, dear child, go far away from the care of the mother. Don't think that I am such a big boy and girl now that I can get along on my own. But come near the mother. There is enough love for you. There is enough grace. There is enough forgiveness for you. Even though you have said bad things, even though you have spoken badly of Christianity, even though you have spoken much evil of this congregation, come back, come and find the lap of this mother. And the mother wants to find you. Around this manger, I have to speak yet of one matter. On the second of day of June in 1982, we were getting ready to give birth, but we weren't in a hurry. The doctor said that you can use all the pain medication you need. The child was born. We did not hear a cry. We saw that baby girl in our hands. We already knew that this child would never cry and would never breathe. She had died before she was born. And now I ask you, dear ones who are listening now to this sermon, where is this child now? I ask you, I ask the church, you who proclaim that in baptism a child comes into the light from darkness, that is it so? When the Lord Jesus began his resurrection work, he began it, he begins it from the mother's womb. From conception, it begins. From the first heartbeat. The resurrection work of the Lord Jesus Christ is so complete that it is also over. It covers our child, and we know that when we go visit the cemetery in Olonsalo, and there it on the grave it reads, "Baby girl." We know that this child has a name. It has the most highest name, the name of a child of God. See how great a love the Heavenly Father has shown us, that He has named us as His children. You knew me when I was born, at my conception. You have made me in my mother's womb. I am a great miracle, and I thank you that your works are wondrous. I know that. And in the book of Jeremiah, it says, "I knew you before you were created in your mother's womb. I chose you before you were born into this world. I sanctified you and made you a prophet of nations." And then this mission command, "Go unto all nations and preach the gospel to all who are created. He who believes and is baptized is saved, but he who does not believe is damned." Did our master, the teacher, forget one word? Did he forget this baptism? Of course not. And this last word touches our baby and those many babies who are born but are not baptized. For the people of God, this has never been unclear, that our children baptized or not. We do this. Our Redeemer commanded us to do so, but also those children whose life has ended before it has even begun, and before they are baptized, they are saved by Christ. We cannot give in, not one step, in this matter. The people of God take their comfort in Christ, even though it is said that we don't do this. The Lord Jesus, our salvation is in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His purity. When Jesus cried on the cross, all is fulfilled. It is truly so. Dear child of God, these services are ending soon, and you will go to bring this message into the world. You will bring that message that little boy proclaimed in his yard, that in Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. That is what I want to preach to you, you child of God, and you people of God. In my own weakness, in your own weakness and distress, you long for this gospel. You can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. This is the pureness and holiness of the nation of God. It is not in our way of life. It is not in our speech, but it is only in the resurrection work of Christ and in believing this. This is what we proclaim, and this is what we speak of. To those of you who may be listening from afar, on the internet, you may think that I have not been able to be at these services. It is not so, because he who hears can believe, even there where you are, perhaps in the midst of many tribulations, you can remain comforted and believe your sins forgiven, all your sins forgiven, and the name and atoning blood of our Lord Jesus. And you can, dear friend, also you, unbelieving friend, you may think that much has been preached. Do I really have permission to believe? You can believe. Believe freely and comforted. And you, dear congregation, mother, remember the servants of the word during this time, when there are those who want to round out this God's word, change it. Pray that we would have the courage to proclaim this gospel. Remember the messengers. And at the end, I ask, can I believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.